Good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Whiskey 8 Mike Whiskey, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at www.scarsvoip.com. There's many net controls this evening. I'm merely opening it up. My call is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. My name is Kathleen. I'm located in the city of Port St. Lucie, Florida, where we have a temperature right now of about 77 degrees and a high today of about 81. Very beautiful day. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, please come aboard. No emergency traffic, and that's always a great thing. How about anyone celebrating a birthday, maybe today, maybe last week, maybe this upcoming week, that would like to come aboard so we can say happy, happy? All right. No birthday stations, and like I always say, that means we're not getting any older. So this is the monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. Once again, our topic this evening is understanding software-defined radios. Hopefully you'll enjoy, and like I said, ask questions, check in if nothing else. So with that, I'm going to throw it over to you, KY6V, so you can begin the program. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and thanks everyone for allowing me to begin the program tonight.
Well, thank you, Kathy. And ladies and gentlemen, hello. Gordon, KY6V here, along with the SCARS staff. We're going to paint a picture for the new kids on the block tonight called Mr. and Mrs. SDR. And we're recommending that you listen carefully, as this looks like it will be the wave of the future. So Dave, GW8SZL, would you get out your canvas and paintbrush, sir, and get us started with the program? GW8SZL from KY6V.
KY6V from Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima. Good morning, Gordon. I'm not allowed to have a paintbrush and canvas, but I do have my colored crayons at the ready. Okay, and here we go. The SDR receiver uses an RF tuner to down-convert the frequency band of interest to an intermediate frequency, the IF, within the range of the analog-to-digital converter. From that point on, all the circuits are digital. The digital down converter translates the signal frequency to baseband, performing a low-pass filtering function. Software-defined radio, commonly known as SDR, is a radio communication system where components that conventionally have been implemented in analog hardware, such as mixers, filters, amplifiers, modulators, emodulators, detectors, and so forth, are instead implemented by means of software on a computer or an embedded system. While the concept of SDR is not new, the rapidly evolving capabilities of digital electronics render practical many, many processes which were once only theoretically possible. A basic SDR system may consist of a computer equipped with a sound card or of an analog-to-digital converter preceded by some form of RF front end. Significant amounts of signal processing are handed over to the general purpose processor rather than being done in special purpose hardware, as in electronic circuits. Such a design produces a radio which can receive and transmit widely different radio protocols, sometimes also referred to as waveforms, based solely on the software used. Software radios have significant uses for the military and cell phone services, both of which must serve a wide variety of changing radio protocols in real time. In the long term, software-defined radios are expected by proponents like the Wireless Innovation Forum to become the dominant technology in radio communications. SDRs, along with software-defined antennas, are the enablers of cognitive radio. Now, some operating principles. The software-defined radio concept. Superheterodyne receivers uses a VFO, a variable frequency oscillator, a mixer, and filter to tune the desired signal to a common IF, intermediate frequency, or the baseband. Typically, in SDR, this signal is then sampled by the analog-to-digital converter, the ADC. However, in some applications, it is not necessary to tune the signal to an intermediate frequency, and the radio frequency signal is directly sampled by the analog-to-digital converter, after amplification, of course. Real analog-to-digital converters actually lack the dynamic range to pick up sub-microvolt nanowatt power radio signals produced by an antenna. Therefore, a low-noise amplifier must precede the conversion step, and this device introduces its own problems. For example, if spurious signals are present, which is typical, these compete with the desired signals within the amplifier's dynamic range. They may introduce distortion in the desired signals, or may block them completely. The standard solution is to put bandpass filters between the antenna and the amplifier, but these reduce the radio's flexibility. Real software radios often have two or three analog channel filters with different bandwidths that are switched in and out. The flexibility of SDR allows for dynamic spectrum usage, alleviating the need to statically assign the scarce spectral resources to a single fixed service. And now a little bit of history. In 1970, a researcher at the United States Department of Defense Laboratory coined the term digital receiver. A laboratory called the Gold Room at TRW, that's Tango Romeo Whiskey, in California, created a baseband analysis tool called MIDAS, which had its operation defined in software. In 1982, while working under a U.S. Department of Defense contract at RCA, Ulrich Rhodes, if I pronounced that correctly, department developed the first SDR, which used the COSMAC, that's Charlie Oscar Sierra Mike Alpha Charlie, which stands for the Complementary Symmetry Monolithic Array Computer Chip. Rhodes was also the first to present on this topic with his February 1984 talk called Digital HF Radio, a Sampling of Techniques. This was at the Third International Conference on HF Communication Systems and Techniques in London. In 1984, a team at the Garland, Texas division of E-Systems, Inc., now Raytheon, coined the term software radio to refer to a digital baseband receiver as published in their E-Team company newsletter. A software radio proof-of-concept laboratory was developed by the E-Systems team that popularized software radio within various government agencies. This 1984 software radio was a digital baseband receiver that provided programmable interference cancellation and demodulation for broadband signals, typically with thousands of adapted filter taps using multiple array processors accessing shared memory. In 1991, Joe Mottola independently reinvented the term software radio for a plan to build a GSM base station that would combine Fidenci's digital receiver with E-Systems MeltPAS digitally controlled communications jammers for a true software-based transceiver. E-Systems MeltPAS sold the software radio idea to the U.S. Air Force. MeltPAS built a prototype Commander's tactical terminal in 1990-91 that employed Texas Instruments TMS320C30 processors and Harris Corporation digital receiver chips with digitally synthesized transmission. The MeltPAS prototype didn't last long because when E-Systems ECI division manufactured the first limited production units, they decided to throw out those useless C30 boards, replacing them with a conventional RF filtering on transmit and receive, and revert into a digital baseband radio instead of the speakeasy-like IF-ADC/DACs of Mottola's prototype. The Air Force would not let Mottola publish the technical details of that prototype, nor would they let Diane Wasserman publish related software lifecycle lessons learned because they regarded it as a USAF competitive advantage. So instead, with USAF permission in 1991, Mottola described the architecture principles without implementation details in a paper called Software Radio, Survey, Critical Analysis, and Future Directions, which became the first IEEE publication to employ the term in 1992. When Mottola presented a paper at the conference, Bob Prill of GEC Marconi began his presentation, following Mottola with, "Joe is absolutely right about the theory of a software radio, and we are actually building one." Prill gave GEC Marconi paper on Pave Pillar, a speakeasy precursor. Speakeasy, the military software radio, was formulated by Wayne Bonza, then of Rome Air Development Center, the RADC, now Rome Labs, by Alan Margellis of MITRE, that's Mike India Tango Romeo Echo, in Rome, New York. And then Lieutenant Beth Casper, the original DARPA Speakeasy Project Manager, and by others at Rome, including Don Upmel. Although Mottola's IEEE publications resulted in the largest global footprint for software radio, Mottola privately credits that the Department of Defense Lab of the 1970s with its leaders Carl, Dave, and John with inventing the digital receiver technology on which he based software radio once it was possible to transmit via software. Okay, this is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima with the South Cars Thursday Information Net. And that's my the first section of the program this evening. So has anybody got any comments would like to check in? If you do, please call now.
Hotel Alpha.
Delta Yankee.
Okay, this is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. I've got K2HA, the Happy Amateur, and that's Red. And VK2DY, that's Robert down there in Kellyville Ridge in Sydney in Australia. So I'm going to go to Fred first, K2HA from TW8SNL. Go straight ahead.
Well, thank you very much, Dave. A peace and blessings to you and to everybody on the net. And thank you for such a thorough introduction to how the concept got bounced around from the different inventors, etc., the concept people, and very interesting. I am fascinated by the how they pulled it all together, at least to get, you know, ending up with such sophisticated devices like I use a Icon 7300. There are much more sophisticated units out on the market than that, but all the way down to those dongles. Let me reset this K2HA. So I use the software defined SDRs online that generous hams or clubs place on the internet, and I use them almost every day from around the world. And some of them are powered just by a computer and a dongle and an antenna. And they give me good sound all the way around the world. So this fascinating, and I need to learn more about it. This is Fred, K2HA. Thank you, Dave.
K2HA from GW8 asset, Alfred. Yes, I totally agree. And with technology increasing, and more appropriately to the SDR technology, the speed increases of the processors and the ADCs and the sampling rates and all that kind of good stuff. SDR is definitely going to be taking over rather than, just the normal analogs and radios and stuff like that. And, Kiwi SDRs dotted all around the planet. Some people think it's cheating, especially on HF. When you use one of them to receive and then transmit, if you can hear yourself coming back via the remote SDR, and try and work the station that you can hear on the SDR. But the one good thing about it, though, is if you're at your QTH, you've got a very high noise level, you've got no chance of hearing the DX station. But by using one of those SDRs, those remote SDRs, Kiwi SDRs, a common one, you can actually receive the station and that you want the contact. But you can just transmit through the noise. So whether that's cheating or not, I don't know, but I know it's used a lot. Any further comments before I move along to Robert? K2HA from GW8SNL.
Okay, thank you, Dave. This is K2HA over here in Broomall, Pennsylvania. Yeah, it depends on what you're... if you're doing contesting, it's cheating. Most contesting say you can't do it. If you're doing parks on the air, for example, it's not cheating. It's in terms of being able to hear something. And, I can contact... the high noise level in the Philadelphia area, sometimes I cannot hear the station clearly at all. However, I can get on an SDR in another part of the country, hear the station, and I could get back a signal report from them of 5.9. And it is just fantastic to have this ability. And so you do have to be careful in what venue you're doing it, and make sure you don't do it in contests. This is Fred, K2HA.
Yeah, K2HA from GW8SZL. I didn't know it wasn't cheating on packs on the air, because I've never actually got around to doing packs on the air, so yet anyway. So I wasn't aware of that. When I was aware it was cheating and in contesting, but I don't do any contesting either. I've done that for many, many years. Okay there, Fred. But it can help, especially if you've got a high HF noise level at your QTH there, especially in big cities. Okay, thanks for your comments there, Fred. Greatly appreciated. Okay, I'll break with Fred, the happy amateur. In Broomall, Pennsylvania, that's K2HA, and now we're going to go down to the bottom end of the planet to Robert, VK2DY. Go ahead there, Robert.
Yes, good morning. This is Robert, Victor Kilo 2, Delta Yankee, in northwestern Sydney, Kellyville Ridge area. It is 9:20 a.m., and 15 degrees Celsius, only going to get to 20 today. We're starting to feel the effects of autumn here now, finally. I have a little bit of an anniversary. 9 years ago, I retired and returned to Australia. So I'm on my starting my 10th year now of retirement. Wow, very nice. Anyway, as far as SDR, I'm sort of going a different way here. I assume that, like, if you have a DAB plus radio in your car or home, That's all digital. There's no analog tuners to that, and the same with TV. Am I correct in that? If you there's no analog tuners left in any of those devices. Am I correct on that? VK2DY.
Yeah, VK2DY from GW8SNR. I believe so, but I'd have to research it to be 100% there, Robert, and I'll note it on the 9 years. It's also morning here. We're 22 minutes past midnight, and we currently at 49 Foxtrot. That's 9.4 Charlie. But I do believe you are correct, but I will stand to be corrected on that one, because I am not 100% sure. So back to you, Robert, from GW8SNR.
Okay, well, thank you, Dave. And yeah, Raspberry Pis make great little radios. I've got a Radio Berry hat, but you can just as well use any SDR tuner in a Raspberry Pi. They're neat little devices. And so anyway, I won't belabor that, but thank you again, Dave. VK2DY.
From GW8SNR. Don't start me on Raspberry Pis. I will be here until, for hours and hours and hours. Okay, thanks for your comments there, Robert, and great to talk to you. Okay, is there any other further comments or check-ins before I pass it on to Chief? GW8SNR. Okay, hearing nobody else. W4RFJ. Nice to talk to you again there, Chief. You up and ready for the next section of the program this evening? W4RFJ. GW8SNR. It's all yours, my friend.
Okay, GW8SNR, this is W4RFJ. I guess we're going to get back into some more history here. Before I do that, I'd like to wave hi to the captain and Admiral Sunshine and, of course, my Hamily over in the UK and all the other denizens of South Cars participating in tonight's TIN. Okay, a few months after the National Telesystems Conference, 1992, in an E-Systems Corporate Program Review, a vice president of E-Systems Garland Division objected to Malpers Mottola's use of the term software radio, without credit to Garland. Alan Jackson, Malpar VP of the marketing at that time, asked the Garland vice president if their laboratory or devices included transmitters. The Garland vice president said, no, of course not. Ours is a software radio receiver. Al replied, then it's a digital receiver, but without a transmitter, it's not a software radio. Corporate leadership agreed with Al, so the publication stood. Many amateur radio operators and HF radio engineers had realized the value of digitizing HF at RF and of processing it with Texas Instruments TI-C30, which is a digital signal processor, or DSP, and their precursor during the 1980s and early 1990s. Radio engineers at Roke Manor in the UK and at an organization in Germany had recognized the benefits of analog to digital conversion at the RF in parallel. Mottola's publication of software radio in the IEEE opened the concept to the broad community of radio engineers. His May 1995 special issue of the IEEE Communications magazine with the cover Software Radio was regarded as a watershed event with thousands of academic citations. Mottola was introduced by Joa da Silva, I hope I pronounced that right, in 1997 at the first international conference on software radio, as godfather of software radio in no small part for his willingness to share such valuable technology in the public interest. Perhaps the first software-based radio transceiver was designed and implemented by Peter Hoer and Helmut Lang at the German Aerospace Research Establishment, DLR, formerly DSVLR, in Upper Pfaffenhofen, Germany, in 1988. Both transmitter and receiver of an adaptive digital satellite modem were implemented according to the principles of a software radio, and a flexible hardware periphery was proposed. In 1995, Stephen Blust coined the term software-defined radio, publishing a request for information from Bell South Wireless at the first meeting of the Modular Multifunction Information Transfer Systems, also known as MMITS, forum in 1996, organized by the United States Air Force and DARPA around the commercialization of their Speakeasy 2 program. Mottola objected to Blust's term, but finally accepted it as a pragmatic pathway towards the ideal software radio. Although the concept was first implemented with an IF analog to digital conversion, which was in the early 1990s, software-defined radios have their origins in the U.S. and European defense sectors of the late 1970s. For example, Walter Tuttleby described a VLF radio that used an analog-to-digital converter and an 8085 microprocessor about a year after the first international conference in Brussels. One of the first public software radio initiatives was the U.S. DARPA Air Force military project named Speakeasy. The primary goal of the Speakeasy project was to use programmable processing to emulate more than 10 existing military radios operating in frequency bands between 2 and 2,000 megahertz. Another Speakeasy design goal was to be able to easily incorporate new coding and modulation standards in the future so that military communications can keep pace with advances in coding and modulation techniques. In 1997, Blaupunkt, I'm not even pronouncing that right, I'm sure, introduced the term DigiSeaver for their new range of DSP-based tuners with Shark's in-car radios such as the Medina and the Lausanne RD-148. Speakeasy Phase 1. From 1990 to 1995, the goal of the Speakeasy program was to demonstrate a radio for the U.S. Air Force Tactical Ground Air Control Party that could operate from 2 megahertz to 2 gigahertz and thus could interoperate with ground force radios, which were frequency agile, VHF, FM and Sync GARS, Sierra India November Charlie Golf Alpha Romeo Sierra, Air Force radios, which were VHF AM, and Naval radios, which were VHF AM and HF single sideband teleprinters and satellites, which used microwave QAM modulation. Some particular goals were to provide a new signal format in 2 weeks from a standing start and demonstrate a radio into which multiple contractors could plug parts and software. The project was demonstrated at TF-XXI Advanced Warfighting Exercise and demonstrated all of these goals in a non-production radio. There was some discontent with failure of these early software radios to adequately filter out-of-band emissions to employ more than the simplest of interoperable modes of the existing radios and to lose connectivity or crash unexpectedly. Its cryptographic processor could not change context fast enough to keep several radio conversations on the air at once. Its software architecture, though practical enough, bore no resemblance to any other. The Speakeasy architecture was refined at the MMITS forum between 1996 in 1999 and inspired the Department of Defense Integrated Process Team, IPT, for Programming Modular Communication Systems, PMCS, to proceed with what became the Joint Tactical Radio System, or JTRS. The basic arrangement of the radio receiver used an antenna feeding an amplifier and down converter, see the frequency mixer, which was feeding an automatic gain control, which fed an analog to digital converter that was on a computer VME bus with a lot of digital signal processors, such as Texas Instruments C40s. The transmitter had digital to analog converters on the PCI bus, feeding an up converter mixer that led to a power amplifier and antenna. The very wide frequency range was divided into a few subbands with different analog radio technologies feeding the same analog to digital converters. This has become a standard, has since become a standard design scheme for wideband software radios. Okay, do we have anybody that would like to check in before we pass it on to the alien life form? Okay, hearing none. KE5ALF, you ready to go? This is Whiskey 4 Romeo Foxtrot Juliet with the South Car Thursday Information Net.
Whiskey 4 Foxtrot, this is KE5ALF. And thank you very much, and welcome to the SCARS. This is we're at mid-polaris. You're in the middle of the program right now, and I hope you're enjoying it, and I hope you're getting some information. And I'm going to continue on with the speakeasy, phase two part. No small part. The goal was to get a... Yep, I'm sorry. I lost my place. How did I do that? Hang on just a minute. Look. I lost a whole sheet of paper here. Okay, speakeasy phase two. I'm sorry. The goal was to get a more quickly reconfigurable architect, as in several conversions at once, in an open software architecture. With cross-channel connectivity, the radio can bridge different radio protocols. The secondary goals were to make it smaller, cheaper, and weightless. The project produced a demonstration radio only 15 months into a 3-year research program. The demonstration was so successful that further development was halted, and the radio went into production with only a 4 megahertz to 400 megahertz range. The software architecture identified standard interfaces for different modules of the radio, such as radio frequency control, to manage analog parts of the radio. Modem control, which managed the resources for modulation and demodulation schemes in the FM, AM, single sideband, and QAM. Waveform processing modules actually performed the modem functions. Key processing and cryptographic processing managed the cryptographic functions. A multimedia module did voice processing. A human interface provided local or remote controls. There was a routing module for network services and a control module to keep it all straight. The modules are said to communicate without a central operating system. Instead, they send messages over the PCI computer bus to each other with a layered protocol. As a military project, the radio strongly distinguished red, which was unsecured secret data, and black, graphically secured data. The project was first known to use FPGAs, which stands for Field Programmable Gate Arrays, for digital processing of radio data. The time to reprogram these was an issue limiting the application of the radio. Today, the time to write a program for an FPGA is still significant, but the time to download a stored FPGA program is around 20 milliseconds. This means an SDR could change transmissions, protocols, and frequencies in 1/50th of a second. probably not an intolerable interpretation or interruption for that task. In the 2000s, the Speakeasy SDR system, in the 1994 use of Texas Instruments S32OC30 CMLOS Digital Signal Processor, DSP, along with several hundred integrated circuit chips with the radio field in the back of a truck. By the late 2000s, the emergence of RF CMOS technology made it practical to scale down an entire SDR system into a single mixed signal system on a chip, which Broadcom demonstrated with the BCM21551 processor in 2007. The Broadcom BCM21551 has practical commercial applications for use in 3G mobile phones. Now, for military usage in the United States, the Joint Tactical Radio System, JTRS for short, was a program of the U.S. military to produce radios to provide flexible and interoperable communications. Examples of radio terminals that require support including handheld, vehicular, airborne, and dismounted radios, as well as base stations, fixed and maritime. This goal is achieved through the use of SDR systems based on an internationally endorsed Open Software Communications Architect, SCA for short. This standard uses COBRA, or POSIX, POSIX operating systems to coordinate various software modules. The program is provided in a flexible new approach to meet diverse soldier communications needs software programmable radio technology. All functionality and expandability is built upon the SCA. SDR's flexibility results in expensive complexity, inability to optimize, slower ability to apply the latest technology, and rarely a tactical user need, since all users must pick and stay with the one same radio if they're to communicate. The SDA, despite its military origin, is under evaluation by commercial radio vendors for applicability in their domains. The adoption of general-purpose SDR frameworks outside of the military intelligence, experimental and amateur uses, however, is inherently hampered by the fact that civilian users can more easily settle with a fixed architecture optimized for specific functions and as such more economical and mass market applications. Still, software-defined radios, inherent flexibility, can yield substantial benefits in the long run. Once the fixed costs of implementing have gone down enough to overtake the cost of irritated redesigns of purpose-built systems, this then explains the increasing commercial interest in the technology. SCA-based infrastructure software and rapid development tools for SDR education and research are provided by the open-source SCA Implementation Embedded, or OSSIE, project. The Wireless Innovation Forum, funded for the SCA Reference Implementation Project and Open Source Implementation of the SCA Specification, or SCARI for short, can be downloaded for free. Now, amateur and home use. Micro Telecom purchases an HF SDR for the amateur radio market. A typical amateur software radio uses a direct conversion receiver. Unlike direct conversion receivers of the more distant past, the mixer technologies used are based on the quadrant sampling detector and the quadrant sampling exciter. The receiver performance of this line of SDRs is directly related to the dynamic range of the analog to digital converters, or ADCs for short. Utilized radio frequency signals are down converted to the audio frequency band, which is sampled by a high-performance audio frequency, ADC for short. First-generation SDRs used a 44 kHz PC sound card to provide ADC functionality. The newer software-defined radios use embedded high-performance ADCs. that provide higher dynamic range and are more resistant to noise and RF interference. A fast PC performs the digital signal processing, or DSP for short, operations using software specific for the radio hardware. Several software radio implementations use the open source SDR Liberty DTTSP. And that ends my little section here before I change it over to KB9EWG. Is there any questions or comments? Okay, this is KE5AOF, and I'm going to turn it over to KB9EWG. David, are you there, sir?
Well, thank you, Alf. Good evening to you, and good evening to everybody else on South Cars. KB9EWG here, continuing on. The SDR software performs all the demodulation filtering, both radio frequency and audio frequency, and signal enhancement, equalization, and binaural presentation. Uses include every common amateur modulation, Morse code, single sideband modulation, frequency modulation, amplitude modulation, and a variety of digital modes such as radio teletype, slow scan television, and packet radio. Amateurs also experiment with new modulation methods. For instance, the Dream open source project decodes the Charlie Oscar Foxtrot Delta mic COFDM technique used by digital radio Mondial. Okay. There is a broad range of hardware solutions for radio amateurs in home use. There are professional grade transceivers solutions, the Zeus ZS, for example, the LL Onyx EF4000, or the Rafael Micro 8 R8820T. Can be used as a wideband 3 MHz SDR receiver. Experiments proved that, that the capability of this setup to analyze precedes meteor shower using Graves radar signal. The project is being maintained on Oscar Sierra Mike Oscar Charlie Oscar Mike Obscom HPSDR. The HPSDR High Performance Software Defined Radio Project uses a 16-bit 135 MSPS analog to digital converter that provides performance over the range of 0 to 55 MHz. Comparable to that of a conventional analog HF radio. The receiver also operates in the VHF and UHF range using either the mixer image or alias response interface to a PC. It is provided by a USB 2.0 interface. Although Ethernet could be used as well, the project is modular and comprises a backplane onto which other boards plug in. This allows the experimentation with new techniques and devices without the need to replace the entire set of boards. And Exciter provides a half watt RF power, the same range into the VHF-UHF range using the image alias outputs. WebSDR is a project initiated by Peter Tajarek DeBoer, I hope I got that pronounced right, providing access via a browser to a multiple SDR receivers worldwide, covering the complete shortwave spectrum. DeBoer has analyzed the chirp transmitter signal using the coupled system of receivers, such as wildlife tracking, radio astronomy, and medical imaging research and art. Okay, at this time, I'm looking for any questions, comments, or check-ins for the TIN. This is KB9EWG. Well, okay, I'm going to do one more check-in, check for questions or comments before I wrap up the net, since I've got the caboose this evening. This is KB9EWG. Okay, hearing nobody else, this has been SCARS. VOIP net schedules and general information may be found on the SCARS VOIP website. That is SCARSVOIP.com. Your net controller for this session has been David at KB9EWG, saying 7-3. And closing this VOIP session, thank you everybody for your participation. This net is now closed and the servers returned to normal amateur use. This is KB9EWG, now clear.